Blog Talk Radio. It is good to know Jesus. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am so glad that you have joined us tonight. It is September the 5th. It is the first Tuesday of the month of September. It seems as if this month is going by very fast, and this year is going by very fast. We're just so very glad that you are with us tonight. You're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you are listening and with us tonight. I thank God for all of you who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet, and those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist. Our service starts each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., we are in the sanctuary at First Baptist. You're cordially invited to come and be a part of our service there. We like for you to come and be a part of the First Baptist family. We thank God for all of you who have come, those of you who are visiting, those who are in the area. We ask that you will come at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning for our worship service. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find more about our calendar of events. You'll find the Sunday morning service. As I said earlier, we go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live. Also, you'll find the call-in number for the Bible study that you're listening to now. That call-in number is 845. That's the area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number. You can be a part of our Bible study tonight. You'll also find on the Facebook page the web link for those of you who would just like to hear the Bible study over the internet, or perhaps you missed the Bible study. You can go back at any time during the week, and you can click on that link, and it will take you directly to the Bible study. All of our Bible studies are archived. That means that you can go back to our Facebook page, First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, at any time, find the Bible study that you would like to hear, click on that link. It will take you directly to that Bible study. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page. There you'll find more information about the Wake Baptist Association and the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. So there's a lot of information that you can get on the Facebook page. So we invite you to go there and then like and share and then tell someone else about it. Want to remind you that this coming Sunday is Usher's anniversary. We will be celebrating the Usher Auxiliary of First Baptist. You are invited to come and be a part of that. I will be preaching, and we will have a great time in the Lord as we celebrate the Usher Auxiliary. So you're invited to come again. That's Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can be a part of the service at First Baptist. Of course, we are in prayer for those who are going through, those who are sick, those who are on our sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who are in the hospital. Seem like sickness is everywhere. We thank God for those who are recovering, those who are doing better, those who are doing well. Want to pray for those bereaved families as well. We must stay prayerful because we don't know when sickness or bereavement can strike us. It could be somebody else's house today. It could be your house tomorrow. And of course, we know that in prayer, we can find solace for our soul. We can find comfort for our lives. Whatever we go through, we can find that comfort in prayer as we talk to the Lord. And we know that the Lord will make a way out of no way. So let us stay in prayer for those who are going through. We're still in prayer for those people who are impacted by the hurricane. Some of those people have not recovered as of yet. And, of course, we are in prayer for our friends and neighbors in Hawaii and Maui, who suffered a great loss during a great fire there. We do have some friends there. We thank God for their safety. But we're still in prayer for those who are going through. People are just going through everywhere. There are some people who are still without electricity. There are still people without running water. And you don't know how much that means until you lose it. You go 2 or 3 weeks or a month without electricity, and you'll find out that it is a great hardship. Without having running water, you'll find out that it is a great hardship. So we are in prayer for them. Let us pray tonight. Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who are part of this Bible study tonight, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray, God, for those who are going through right now, those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who find themselves in various positions through no fault of their own. We ask, God, that you will have mercy and you will have grace upon them, that you will show your mercy upon them. Father, there are so many people who are just going through right now for one reason or another. It could be sickness. It could be financial woes. It could be because of hurricane or fire. It could be for whatever reason. But, Lord, we don't question the reason. We just ask that you will provide your mercy and your grace for those who are going through. We ask, God, that you will bless churches everywhere as we continue to do your work and continue to bless our people as we continue to serve you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, our lesson tonight is called Step Out on Faith. Step Out on Faith. Step Out on Faith. We're in the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, 22nd verse. We're going to start in the 14th chapter, 22nd verse, Matthew 14. I'll pause for a minute while you find that. Matthew 14, we're going to start in verse 22. Step out on faith. Although not explicit in Matthew's account, it is more clear in Mark's gospel that Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee, located north of Jerusalem. Scholars estimate that Jesus did many of his most notable miracles, at least 18 of them, in and around the communities bordering this body of water. Peter and his brother Andrew were the first disciples called by Jesus. We'll find that in Mark 1 and 16. He was known for his impulsive nature, that's Peter, and his forceful personality, as well as his special relationship with Jesus. Jesus himself changed his name from Simon to Peter, meaning the rock. Peter was the first of the disciples to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And though Peter denied Jesus 3 times before his crucifixion, after receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter was the first to preach to the crowds. He ultimately became one of the gospel's most passionate and tireless ambassadors, suffering persecution, beatings, and imprisonment until finally he was martyred in 67 AD. In the preceding verses of this particular chapter, Jesus deals with the devastating news of the imprisonment and execution of his cousin John the Baptist at the hands of Herod the Tetrarch. He sought to get away from the crowd and retreat by himself to a remote place to rest. However, crowds of people from surrounding towns began to seek after Jesus. As the evening set in, the disciples sought to send the people on their way to fend for themselves for dinner. But Jesus objected. He ordered his disciples to give the people something to eat. The disciples were perplexed at Jesus' command, but it was all a setup for a display of his unquestionable power and convincing proof of his ability to defy natural law. You know the story. His father had given him this power. And so with a few fish, loaves of bread, he fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. After this, Jesus sent the disciples away by boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He wanted to be recharged in prayer. Jesus, after his exhausting time of ministry and meeting spiritual and natural needs of the people, again seeks to commune alone with his Father. He wanted to speak to God in prayer. Jesus sends his disciples ahead of him by boat, that they would meet him on the other side. After this, Jesus would land on the other side, and he would be connected with his disciples. This is where our lesson picks up tonight. In verse 22, Matthew 14 and 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away." Jesus multiplied bread for the 5,000 people in the desert place where he had retreated with his disciples. His withdrawal was motivated by a report of Herod's beheading of his cousin John the Baptist and by the king's command for him and those who followed him for the same thing. And so Jesus wanted to be alone. He wanted to get somewhere where he could concentrate, where he could think, where he could mourn the death of his cousin. And after feeding the people with the loaves of bread and the few fish, you know, they were overwhelming to him. And Jesus rejected this as a potential threat to his mission on earth because they wanted to make him king after he fed them. And Jesus' purpose on earth was not to be served, but to serve. And he did not want them to make him a king. He simply wanted them to recognize that he was the Son of God. You see, this situation led Jesus to constrain his disciples to leave the scene immediately after he dismissed the crowd. That word constrain simply means that he didn't take no for an answer. It means that he physically and mentally compelled or forced them to do something. He wanted them to leave. He wanted to get alone, and he knew that if he would compel them to go, then they would have no choice to go. This was an imperative motive for Jesus to send his disciples ahead. The disciples had to go to the other side, as the Bible said, which according to scholars refer to the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Some scholars suggest that the desert place where the feeding took place was closer but separate from Bethesda by a day. You see, Jesus intended the disciples to wait for him at Bethesda. The Bible said contrary winds took them to Gennesaret. A similar situation happened in Acts 27 and 15, where the boat driving Paul was sent off course and carried away from its initial course by a strong wind. In verse 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening had come, he was there alone." After he sent them away, Jesus climbed the mountain to communicate with the Father. At some critical point in Jesus' earthly ministry, he always separated himself or isolated himself from the crowd, even sometime from his disciples, in order to pray. You'll find that in Luke 5 and 16. It explains that Jesus was withdrawn in his wilderness for prayer, periods of great understanding. There does come a time, beloved, when we have to separate ourselves in order to speak to the Lord. Sometimes we have to get away from the maddening crowd, turn off the telephone, cut the TV off, so that we can get alone with the Lord. In Matthew 6 and 6, Jesus entreats us to withdraw into what we call our secret closet to pray to God. It is therefore important for us as Christians today to emulate our Lord and retreat ourselves from noise and the business of the times of that day in order to pray. Jesus was alone in the evening. See, the Jews divided the day into three periods, morning, noon, and evening. The evening was in turn subdivided into two parts. The first evening began at sunset, and the second evening began when the sun was fully, completely set. In other words, the first part of evening was twilight, and the second part of evening was dusk. So the Bible said that Jesus was left praying alone at night. For the Bible says that the ship that was now in the midst of the sea was tossed with waves, for the winds were contrary. While Jesus was on the mountain praying, the disciples were on the sea, on the ship being tossed by waves. They were encountered the Bible calls it a contrary wind that would eventually lead them to Gennesaret. A contrary wind means it blew one way at one time and blew another way at another time. It was not a steady wind that was blowing north or a wind that was blowing south or east or west. It was a wind that changed. A contrary wind means it blew one way and then it would blow another way. Mark 6 and 48 tells us that Jesus saw that the disciples were battling with the contrary winds. We can't be for certain whether Jesus saw them physically or supernaturally. The current evening is taking place. They had left the desert place for a quiet time alone. Still, John states that it was already night when they encountered this contrary wind. You see, Jesus understood, and some suggest that it was a full moon and that Jesus could actually see the ship as it went further and further out and as the winds began to blow it from one side to another. And then the Bible makes it more clear in verse 25 when it says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." You see, as I said before, they divided the evening into separate parts from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Therefore, it was during the fourth watch that Jesus appeared to the disciples who were being blown on a contrary wind. This would put him somewhere in the neighborhood of between four or five in the morning, where Jesus is seen walking on the water. Around this time, Jesus appears to them in an unprecedented fashion by walking on the sea. You see, great figures of the Old Testament history, such as Moses and Joshua and Elijah, did miracles involving parting waters, but they never did anything like walking on water. This action of Jesus clearly portrays his divine nature. Probably no boat left for him to join the disciples. There were many who claimed to be able to do miracles, but nobody had ever walked on water. This separated Jesus from all the other so-called miracle workers. They had never seen anybody walk on water. And the Bible says in verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." I can understand that. The disciples saw somebody walking on the water at night or early in the morning with a contrary wind blowing, but he's walking steadfast, not being blown, not being tossed about. He's walking in a straight line toward them. The disciples could not fathom this scene. They assumed that they were looking at a spirit or a ghost or some type of phenomenon or some type of phantom or something that was unrealistic. Our perception of reality always shapes our response and our reactions. What our perception of reality is, it shapes our response and our reactions to when we see things that are unperceived in our minds. They expressed their inner feelings by fear. They couldn't understand how this could happen. Their fear could have been due to prevailing cultural beliefs of the time. In the ancient Near East, the sea was taught to be a realm of powerful, chaotic beings. You heard the story of the beings or the various small G gods, Poseidon and Neptune, and all of those small G gods that were said to live in the sea or live in the water. And perhaps they thought that maybe this was one of those things that they were seeing. And so they were afraid. They were undoubtedly thought Jesus was a ghost or some type of apparition that would harm them or come to do harm to them. Their destruction caused them to have fear. They understood the fear, but they didn't understand what they were looking at when they saw Jesus walking on the water. They had insecurity in the face of the unknown. And we cannot blame them for that, because often we have insecurity in the face of the unknown. When we see things that we cannot explain, when we see things that we cannot comprehend, the first reaction is fear. If you see things you can't explain, you quite naturally, you become afraid of it. But look at verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. In other words, don't be afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. You see, the Lord is always prompt to coming to rescue us. There's never been a time when the Lord did not come to rescue his people. So he said to them, be of good cheer, or do not be afraid. This phrase was meant to encourage them or to give them comfort. It resonates when we have a challenging task ahead. It will re-echo if we are in peril or in facing some type of danger, such as a current case that the disciples were going through. To have someone speak to you saying, do not be afraid, it kind of comforts you at least, because you know whatever it is, it's not coming to hurt you. The Lord wants us to be of good cheer and not be afraid because of his presence. Then he made it known. He said, it is I. You know who I am. It is I. Just like God spoke in the book of Exodus, I am that I am. It is I. We have this promise of Jesus in Matthew 28 and 20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We should therefore not be afraid, even in our darkest hour or most violent storm that we go through in life. We should not be afraid, even though the winds of life may toss us around like a contrary wind. We must have that confidence to know that Jesus will come to our rescue. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee out of the water. This is what I call stepping out on faith. Peter's request was not portrayed or portraying a doubt about the identity of the one who was calling him. Peter, at this point, know who's calling him. Peter is being an extrovert as far as personality is concerned. The Lord's request might have been guided by the delegation of the power of Jesus granted to him in Mark 6 and 12. Remember, Jesus granted power to them in Mark 6 and 12, 13 and 30 over sickness and demons. And since it was the Lord, he can grant Peter with the authority over physical laws as well. So he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. You know, I don't care how big your boat is. I don't care how small your boat is. It take a lot of nerve to get out the boat. It take a lot of nerve to take one step out the boat. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, the Bible said he walked on the water to go toward Jesus. Jesus granted Peter's request by the word, come. It should not be perceived here as a mere invitation, but rather a delegation of power or transference of authority. Come. Yes, Peter, walk on the water. Peter therefore took the first step and came out of the ship. I want to stop right there, because even though later on we hear where he took his eyes off of him, you got to give him credit. Nobody else got out the boat. Nobody else stepped out the boat. You got to give him credit for being the one that stepped out of the boat. Once he was out of the boat and on the water, he could walk just as Jesus was doing. John 14 and 12 says that anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. You see, we can perform greater works by faith as long as we keep on looking at the Lord who instructs us. Anytime we shift our focus from the Lord to the challenge that we see before us, we start to sink. Here Peter fails to look at the Lord who instructed him to come, but rather he focused on his situation. He began to focus on the wind. I imagine Peter said to himself, I am actually walking on water. I can imagine that probably took his focus. When Peter realized he was sinking, he had sense enough to cry out to Jesus saying, Lord, save me. Our faith may fail us at times, but ultimately Jesus is our last recourse in our danger and we find ourselves in situations like that. Instinctively, Peter cried out of fear and despair for the rescue of the Lord. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus did not tarry to rescue Peter. Without any delay, he stretched forth his hand to seize the drowning man. Peter walked quite a distance since Jesus could not stretch out his hand to hold him right there at the ship. So Peter had to take more than one step. He took a few steps before he began to sink. And Jesus rebuked him after that. He got hold of him. And he said, you have little faith. And beloved, that's the reason why we can't step out on faith today. That's the reason why so many people cannot step out on faith, because our faith is so small. Our faith does not lift us. Our faith does not keep us. It does not give us the confidence that we need whenever we find ourselves in a situation. So as he said, O ye of little faith, many times we are just like Peter. We have little faith. But we ought to know if God can do one thing, he can do another. Our cry of desperation will always be heard, and God will swiftly deliver us from our trouble. But we must expect a gentle rebuke from our loving Lord. This word suggests a qualification of faith, just as Jesus explained the amount of faith required to move mountains in Matthew 17 and 20. Verse 32. And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. You see, this verse indicates Peter and Jesus walked back to the ship on the water. When they got back to the ship, the wind ceased. Verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, it is true. Thou art the Son of God. When the wind ceased, the disciples realized the true personality of Jesus. This man who could multiply bread and 5 loaves of bread and feed 5,000 people. This man who could walk on the water. This man who could calm the sea. Who could this person be except for the promised Messiah? Who else could he be? You see, the Roman officers and the soldiers made the same confession when they witnessed the events of Jesus' death and filled with awe. They knew who he was. This was without a doubt. Nobody had done any of the things that Jesus had done. None of the soothsayers, none of the so-called miracle workers. None of them could feed 5,000 people. None of them could calm an angry sea. None of them could walk on water. This separated him from all the others. And it also brought envy, hatred, and fear to the Romans, because any man with that kind of power can take over, and that they were afraid of. Verse 34, we're going to read two more verses. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. After crossing, they landed Gennesaret, described as a triangular coastal land on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. Then the men, verse 35, it says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the countryside round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And then verse 36 says, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Jesus was already very famous, and he could not move unnoticeable or unnoticed. John even records that the people who were fed on the previous day, they began to talk about him. The people that that spread the news about him feeding the 5,000, they talked about him. And so the Bible said that when they found out where he actually was, they began to bring all those who were sick and all those who were diseased to him. And they just simply wanted to touch the hem of his garment, possibly referring to the fringes or the tassels of his garment. The request to only touch the fringes of his garment might be due to the crowds of the place. You see, not too many people could actually touch him because the crowds were so big. But if you could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, they believed they could be made whole. And this is what our lesson is about tonight. We have to have that type of faith to step out, to know that wherever we are, whatever we're going through, that the Lord can bring us through. Jesus is calling all of us, you and I, to step out on faith. Yes, he called Peter in the Bible. But Peter is you and I, beloved. We are all Peters. He calls all of us to step out on faith. Jesus made the disciples to get in that boat and go to the other side. No doubt he knew that a storm was on the way. And no doubt he knew that one of the things that he would do is walk out on that water and save his disciples. Yes, Jesus knew the end from the beginning. And so it is with us. He knows our end from the beginning. So we have no need to fear. We have no need to worry. He's already made a way out of no way. He's already given us the victory, regardless of what we might find, where we might find ourselves. And there are times we find ourselves just like these disciples, in a place of terror, in a place where we don't know what to do. But don't be afraid and realize that God wants us to sometimes step out on faith. So many people will never be the people that God will have them to be because they're afraid to step out on faith. Some people will never have the business that they desire to have because they're afraid to step out on faith. Some people will never finish their education because they're afraid to step out on faith. Some people will never have the things that God wants them to have in life or the things that they desire to have in their lives because they're afraid to step out on faith. We have to learn today that the Lord is with us and he will hold us up. Simply have the knowledge and the foresight to know that we can call on him, just like Peter. When Peter realized that he was sinking, he had sense enough to know, Lord, save me. He didn't go to scuffling. He didn't go to try to tread in water. He didn't holler. He didn't scream. He said, Lord, save me. He knew where his help was. And that's what we have to do. We have to know where our help is. Lord, save me. I'm going to open the line. There may be some tonight who would like to add to the lesson. You may have something that you would like to add to the lesson, or maybe you have read this story in the Bible. It's an old and familiar story. I know many of you have read this story in the Bible, and perhaps you have your own take on it. So I'm going to go to the lines. Maybe some of you would like to have something to say. You don't have to say anything. You can simply say, I'm just listening, and I'll go to the next call. Area code 919, last four digits, 6043. 6043. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you this evening?
Fine, and you?
Good, good. Want to add something to
it? I enjoyed the lesson. Yes, I enjoyed the lesson tonight. Can you hear me? My phone is sort of chopping up.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. One thing I wrote down was, let's see. When we are in storms or difficult places, this tells us that Jesus is not far away from us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In our bad, in our darkest days, in our darkest times, he's there praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
When the night is at its darkest, which when you was talking about the fourth watch, when it was at its darkest, he was there near and at hand to help Peter. Yeah. That was one thing I got out of it. And it said they heard, another thing was they heard his voice, and immediately they recognized that it was Jesus. You know? Now, who was it, or was he a ghost and different stuff like that? And then when he spoke, they recognized his voice.
Absolutely. Thank you. Area code 90, I'm sorry, area code 609, last four digits, 9126.
Hello.
How you doing? Good evening.
Yes, I. Good evening. Mm-hmm. Yes, I enjoyed the lesson. It's very good. I am certainly familiar with it. And I just wanted to say that in life, it's not something that you automatically have faith. You know, you have to grow in that faith. You have to begin to trust God to the extent where you want to step out on faith and walk on the, you know, you trust God to hold you up on the water. So that's something you grow with. And for me, that's how it's been throughout my life. You know, I didn't always have it. It's something that I've drawn with. I trust God enough to step out on faith, because I know wherever he takes it will be in within his will. And that's what I've always pulled from this chapter.
Thank you. You make a very good point. You have to grow. Faith has to grow. It does not happen overnight. And it takes experience and situations you've gone through. And you're absolutely right. I thank you for making that point. Exactly. Thank you. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Traveling on the road here. I'm just thinking about him walking on the water in the midst of a storm. And then when he got over the boat with the disciples, there was peace. Mm-hmm. He was in the same boat or the same situation with those disciples. There's peace, and I think there's two part of you. You have the faith part, which you demonstrated in this lecture, in this lesson, but also just knowing that Jesus is in the same boat with you, that gives you a peace in mind as well. But very good lesson. Reminded of, I'm thinking about Peter, but despite all of these miracles, they saw him walk on water. They saw him feed multitudes. Peter denied him three times. But even with all of that, seeing that, well, ultimately, after Christ's earthly demise, somehow that faith was reinstituted within him, and they went running for Jesus, and all of them were killed. But it's something. Faith is a powerful, a very powerful entity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know myself. I don't have the faith I think I should have. Even as a deacon, I don't have the faith that I think I should have. But I'm working on it. It's a daily thing with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
But thank you for the lesson.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Thank you so much for your observation. Thank you. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Reverend Rogers.
Good evening,
Trustee.
I enjoyed
the lesson.
Good evening.
I enjoyed the lesson. Just a couple things I wanted to say here. Just that one example, stepping out on faith. It's like taking a bold action. Even if you don't have all the facts or unsure of the outcome, sometimes, we have to step out. So whenever, we jump into unknown territory, we just trust that it will eventually lead to something better. And that really shows what's called true courage. So in other words, fear is okay, as long as it is overcome or by faith. So if we have that solid foundation of like prayer, purpose, preparation, and persistence, you know, it will put us over the top.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I want to go back to Deaconess Rainey. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Question. When Jesus performs this miracle of walking on the water, what does it say about him being able to overcome the powers, the nature, power of nature? You see, he did three things that were against the power of nature. First of all, he took a few fish and a few loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people. Nobody could ever done that. Nobody. Nobody could do it now. Secondly, he walked on water. Secondly, he walked on water. Nobody can ever do that now. Nobody's ever done that since. And third, he calmed an angry sea. What does this say about his power over nature and over the natural world?
It says that his power is no other power stronger than his, no other power that can do what he can do.
Right, right.
That's what it's saying. That if he's just one standing alone, you know, with what he can do and what he has done for us, he's just one. It's nobody else can do it. He's in a class, you know, like it's different classes of this, classes of that. He's in the class by himself.
Exactly. And this is why Peter's word was confirmed that he had to be the Son of God, because no other man could do that. No other man could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that proved to everyone, certainly to his disciples, that he had to be the Son of God. Trustee Mangum, these disciples were professional fishermen. They've been out on the water before. They've seen storms before. What do you think messed them up on this particular storm?
Well, they didn't have enough faith. You know,
okay.
Believe.
Okay.
Got weak.
Okay.
Weak. That's what I think.
The Bible said the winds were contrary. That's unusual because usually when the wind blows, it blows in one direction. It blows north or south or east or west. But the contrary wind means it blew one way one minute, then blew another way another minute, so the boat was carried off course completely. It was supposed to be going to Bethesda, but they ended up in Gennesaret, which was completely in a different direction. So that lets us know that a lot of times we can start out going one place and end up somewhere else. But it doesn't matter as long as the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. All right. Deacon Fuller, I got one more question. I'm going to end it. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add to this, to the lesson? I'm going to ask Deacon Fuller a question. I'm going to ask all of you the same question. I'll start with Deacon Fuller. Deacon Fuller, would you step out the boat?
Would I have stepped out the boat?
Yep.
No. No, I wouldn't have stepped out on the boat.
Thank you. Thank you for telling the truth. Deaconess Rainey, would you have stepped out the boat?
I don't think I would have stepped out either, Pastor.
Oh, ye a little faith. Trustee Mangum, would you step out the boat?
No. No, sir.
Who is this on 9126? This Sherry? Or Sister
Douglas?
Not
as fast.
Sister Douglas. Would you step out the boat? Huh?
Then, no. Today, yes.
Today, yes. But I'm talking about then.
Then, no.
Well, I have to agree with you. I don't think I would have done it either. I don't know. But, oh, you have little faith. I mean, that goes to show.
Yeah.
Now we know better now, of course. We know better now, but at that time, it took a lot of courage to step out the booth. And thank you all for being honest about that, because most people would not have. I don't know too many people who actually would have other than Peter. And that was because of Peter being an extrovert and knowing or having an inclination of who Jesus was. That's why he said, if it be thou. That's why he asked, if that's you, then you, if you tell me to come, then I'll come. You know, but if, you know, but if it's not you, I'm not going, you know. So it takes a lot of courage to do that. So I thank y'all for being on the line tonight. I thank y'all for being honest about answering that question. So does anyone else have anything they'd like to add? Deacon Fuller, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, I will. I'm in a rainstorm, so it might be a little loud. Just let me know if you can hear. But Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for what we have heard. We thank you for allowing us to understand faith a little better, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you just instill in us a faith, a seed of faith within us every day, Lord, because we always face doubt, insecurities, Lord. We know you're the one who walked on water. We know you're the one who fed the 5,000 souls. But Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you just reinforce that within our natural realm, Lord, and that we just take that with us, Lord, wherever we go. We ask you, Lord, right now that you just bless everybody on this panel, those who could not attend, Lord, and give us the faith that we need to endure these hardships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Good
night. Thank y'all for being on the line tonight. Good night. We'll see you Friday night.
We'll also
see you Sunday morning. God bless you.
All right.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Trouble in my own way. I have to cry sometimes. So much trouble makes me cry. That's all right, but I know Jesus asked why. Trouble in my way, have to cry sometimes. So much trouble makes me cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all. Give him a summer. Should I go?